So thanks for being with us throughout today. Thanks for continuing to walk through the breakouts and the discipleship, the practice sessions, and so on and so forth. And one of the things that we've done here towards the end is we always like to have a panel of individuals. Again, I said at the very beginning, this is about the local church and the local church being involved. And what better way to learn about that than to think about some testimonies of those who have been engaged in discipleship, both growing themselves as a disciple and also encouraging and supporting others as they grow as disciples of Jesus in their local church. And so we're gathered here with four individuals, and we have a series of questions that we kind of work through ahead of time. We're just kind of talk through a little bit ahead of time, but they're each different, each a different place of where life is has them currently and where life has taken them. And we're just going to have a conversation for the next half hour or so around this area. So I'm going to start with you, Jeremy, if I could, and then I'd like you just to kind of tell a little bit about yourself, where you're at, how long you've been walking with Jesus, and what's kind of come down here this way.
Okay, thank you. I don't think my mic's working. Can you hear me all right?
It's on.
Okay,
yep.
Perfect. I'm Jeremy Lehman. I'm from Forest. My wife and I have been married for 15 years, and we serve there on the pulpit ministry, and began my walk with Christ when I was 18 years old, and I'm 38, so I've been walking with Christ for 20 years, and I've been discipled by a lot of people, and I also help disciple a men's purity group in Forest.
Good. Okay. Thanks, Jeremy. Brian?
Yeah, Brian Stoller from Fairbury. My wife, Kara, is here as well. She can introduce herself to us a little bit more. But I've been a believer for 33 years. And we are grew up in Fairbury, spent some time in Champaign, Columbus, Ohio, back to Fairbury again. And I think for probably of that 33 years, maybe the last 20 has been more involved for us in the whole idea of discipleship. And for me, I guess it really started with, I was probably 10 years post-baptism before somebody sat down. Oh, there we go. Before somebody sat down and actually explained the gospel to me. And so 10 years of living as a believer, not understanding the gospel. And I just want to be the person that I wish somebody else would have been in my life earlier on. So.
Thanks, Brian. Kara?
Yeah, Kara Stoller, and Brian introduced me and said a lot of what my life is. Also, we actually started repenting together, so I've also been a believer for about 33 years. And again, too, I would say the same thing, that it's probably been like 20 years that I've been on this journey of abiding, you know, the whole thing from today, abiding in Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and continuing in his work. And I've definitely seen that played out in my life.
Dawn.
I'm Dawn Herman. My husband and I attend Princeville Church, and I've been converted 44 years. So we have 8 children whose ages range over nearly 21 years. And in a couple weeks, our youngest will graduate from high school, which will mark the completion of 30 years of educating our children. So that defines a lot of my journey of being discipled and discipling someone else. So 10,000 days, every day an opportunity to deny myself and take up my cross and follow Jesus. And
10,000 days of teaching your children, is that you're saying?
Being home.
Yeah, whether, being home. Yeah, give or take. Yeah. Not that anybody's counting.
No. And those opportunities to disciple the people in my home.
Thanks for that. Appreciate that. So decades, really, decades of walking with Christ in some way, shape, or form. Now, we've talked about discipleship a lot today, and actually when I first sent the questions out to these individuals, a couple of them, actually one, I think, Dawn, you were the first one, and then Stoller's chimed in right after and said they had the same question. They asked, is this supposed to be about our personal walk with Christ or about how we are engaging others? And I gave them the classic non-answer that says basically, well, it depends, right, or both, you know, type thing. But the reality is, as you've probably seen today, the interplay between how we walk with Christ and then what that allows us to do with others, or how that allows us to engage with others in multiple different settings. And so I'd like us to dwell on this, on that aspect just a little bit first, as you think about discipleship and what it means to be a disciple. And earlier we talked about abiding with him and becoming like him and continuing his work. Like, what has gone well? What has not gone well? What is easy? What is difficult in those areas? Brian and Kara, I'd like to start with you, maybe kind of in the middle. I don't care which one of you goes first. But just in that general area there, tell us about what the discipleship journey has been like for you.
Can we start? Okay. I would say this whole idea of developing a culture of outreach is really becoming a big topic for us as a church. And I think it's an important topic, and definitely we need to head that direction. And what I mean by that, a culture of outreach, it's just Jesus just becomes a natural part of who we are. He becomes a natural part of our conversation. That could be at home, that could be even in church, at the store, wherever we go, that he is just naturally brought up. And so to just have that aspect as top of mind, that's who we want to be. And encouraging, you know, other people, young people, older people, non-believers, other believers, and just asking questions. You know, I think one of the reasons I would say that Jesus chose me to be a disciple is because he thinks that I can be like him. And I want to be that way. And in one of the ways Jesus, I think, wants me to be like him is to care for other people. Sometimes I don't care enough, and that's a challenge for me, is I get too caught up in my life and my busyness, and I don't care enough. But the more time that I spend with him, the more I care about other people. Jesus, I would say, had this benefit that he knew everybody's story. I don't know everybody's story, which means I have to ask questions, and that's not naturally who I am. So growing in that. So
yeah. I would say that it really started with me, probably somebody just asking me to be in a Bible study and realizing that I was not a very good studier of the word, and being able to learn more about Jesus and become more like him, and letting Jesus mold me and shape me, like, you know, like clay in the potter's hand, and just who am I being formed into. And I think that's kind of where it started for me. But it's a growing experience. I would say the next thing that started for me was when Brian approached me and asked me to homeschool our children. And it wasn't something I really wanted to do. But as I started that journey, I realized really quick that I needed to be discipling my children's hearts. But I am such a structured person and an organized person that it was, my days were very well planned out, and everything was, you know, just very, and what got left set was my discipleship of my children and teaching them the ways of God. And my oldest reminds me of that very, very much to this day. And I've tried to grow in that. And I think I've definitely seen myself change over time, and how Jesus needs to be the first and foremost, and then all the other things in my life, no matter where I'm at home, work, community, and it all starts with my alone time with God. When I'm not spending that time with him, that's when things don't go the way they should, and that's when my focus becomes more on my agenda and my schedule and how I need to get things done.
So I want to just build on those 2 points just a second there. What I heard you say, Kara, is that Christ is to be preeminent, right? Mm-hmm. That's what Colossians says. He is to be preeminent in our life. But that's something that you have to intentionally focus on. It doesn't naturally come.
Right.
And there's been a growth that's happened over this time into that. Mm-hmm. Brian, you mentioned the fact that you want Christ to be just a natural part of every conversation. Is that something that you naturally find yourself falling into, or has that been a growth process as well, where where the Lord has kind of done his work within your life?
No, definitely growth. I mean, my natural inclination, my comfort zone is if I'm in a social setting, where I feel the most comfortable is sitting in the corner watching everybody else have a good time.
Which is why I have you up here on the panel. Yeah. Yep. And so just to be willing to step into that, right? Or to do that. Yep. And that has both, again, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what I heard you say is that's both been born out of your love for Jesus himself mm-hmm. as your rabbi, as your master, mm-hmm. that then bears that fruit. Mm-hmm. Okay. Jeremy, what about you? When you think about this whole idea of discipleship and the last 20 years or so you've been walking with him, where have you seen, what's easy, what's hard, where have you seen growth in your understanding of that whole concept? Mm-hmm.
Before I could disciple people, I needed to become a disciple. So that when I see the growth that you're talking about, it was me growing and becoming a disciple. So I repented when I was 18. So there's a lot of growth right off the bat, right? Becoming more like Christ, becoming converted. And there was two things in my life that helped me really become that disciple, because I took the first step to become that disciple, but as probably many of you have experienced it, so much in our life, sometimes we take steps backwards or we coast. And the first one was actually when the church went through the split and a lot of people from Forest left with the faith movement. I really realized I didn't understand the word like I needed to, and I needed to read the word, and I was at a point in my life that I didn't care what the truth was. I just needed to know the truth, and so it drove me to the word. And for probably roughly 10 years there, too, from 18 to 28-ish, I had a problem with sexual purity in my life, and that drove me to the word as well. And I learned how to become a disciple, and others discipled me in that time, and that's really what pushed me to grow.
Yeah. So the impact that others had upon you, and I know I'm jumping ahead just a little bit in questions, but the impact that others had upon you had an influence in how you then walked. This is a progressive type thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So actually when I repented, I flew to Texas that night. I repented about midnight, and it was like 3 a.m. We had to leave to go to Texas for some training. And when I got home, we drove through the night, got home on a Sunday morning. So the first Sunday I went to church, and I was a broken young man. We had the Sunday school picnic that evening. And since you jumped ahead, I'm jumping ahead.
Yeah.
And I was miserable. I was broken. And all these people at the Sunday school picnic were singing praises to God and having a good time. And I was just broken. And I went and I sat down by the creek, and I was just crying. And an older brother came and sat down on the bench and started talking to me and started telling me how he knows what I'm going through, and he went through the same thing, and it took me a while, but slowly my head just came up. My head was in my hands, and that brother is still a mentor to me and really discipled me a lot through my life. And that's just one of many examples of how now I would like to disciple others, because I see how those people stepped in and spoke in my life. So yeah. I'm passionate about helping others.
It's powerful. Thanks for that. Don, 40-some years walking with Jesus.
Yeah.
As you reflect back on what it means to be a disciple, what you've seen about being a disciple of Jesus, just any thoughts, kind of, again, what have you learned, what goes easy, what gets in the way, mm-hmm. any of those kind of things?
What gets in the way is me, because my desire for comfort and ease and just hanging on tightly to my life instead of losing my life for Christ's sake. I think I just wanted to say that how we are spiritually gifted is going to determine kind of how we walk and how we grow with Jesus. If you're a reader, you're going to just pull into the word more easily. So my, on the spiritual inventory that ACCFS has, my top spiritual gifts are administration, teaching, knowledge, and shepherding. And so that is going to make my journey of discipleship look a certain way, as well as how I disciple others. And at the very bottom is mercy and service, which is unfortunate. Mm-hmm. and pathetic, really, along with evangelism. So I really appreciate each of you who have those gifts, because you can, with compassion, reach out to people in ways that I can't.
So part of it is knowing yourself, knowing, because it is a very personal relationship that we have with Christ, and knowing how he works within your life and what he does and what he won't necessarily ask you to do. And so that whole challenge that the scripture lays out to us, it says, don't compare yourself among yourself because it's not wise. That applies here as well. If we're not careful, we can fall into that trap. And Dawn, again, I don't want to put words into your mouth, but we can fall into that trap of where, you know, we can compare ourselves with others and say, well, why am I not like them? Or why do I not have the same type of discipleship as them? And that's probably not the right question to ask, right?
Yeah.
So what has been, I want to just stay with you a second, Dawn, what has been foundational? When you think about discipleship, what is foundational in your mind about this whole idea of discipleship?
Of discipling others?
Yeah, or, I mean, of how that, yeah. Of yourself, I mean, yeah.
Or how I was impacted.
How you were impacted.
How I was impacted. Mm-hmm. So when I came into the church at that time, there was a very strong model and expectation of what a converted person's life looked like. And that was impactful. I think it was good. It was a good foundation for me and a structure to start at. And I think just the faithfulness of the generations ahead of me was very strong. And I don't think I really appreciated it or even realized how much of an impact that had on me. Mm-hmm. So that was just gave me a good start. Mm-hmm. And then throughout life, then I did a lot of reading. I read a lot of the Christian classics and lots of missionary biographies, like all the missionary biographies. And there was a particular book, Spiritual Mothering by Susan Hunt, and that was very impactful as far as my desire for mm-hmm. teaching other people. And which actually was kind of a source of frustration, because that's what I wanted to be doing. And I was home. I was in my home. And many times as I would pray about a way to do more or whatever, God always directed, not always, but frequently directed me back to my own family. So
your desire was to do even more,
it
right?
Was.
Spiritual mothering and just be involved and engaged. And you felt God whispering in your ear saying, first things first.
Yeah, that was my job then.
Yeah. For 10,000 hours. Yeah.
10,000 days.
10,000 days. 10,000 days. Brian and Kara, Brian, you already mentioned that someone kind of drove you to a deeper understanding of the gospel, really discipled you. And Kara, I don't know if you had similar experiences or whatnot, but just what took you, you know, the impact of others often affects our discipleship. So what took you to a deeper understanding of discipleship in your lives?
I think it was somebody coming to us and asking us what was the vision was for our family. And I had never, ever thought about a vision for my family or what that looked like. And I think at that point, it drove me to the Word and to what does it mean for me to be a mom and to raise my children to love Jesus and not just do what everybody else around me was doing, but just to really dig deep about what I wanted my house to look like and what I wanted. And I'd say that Brian would say the same thing, that when those people came, and then those people were huge mentors to us. And
they were like a life stage ahead of you, probably?
Yes, okay. Yes. And we did do a parenting class with them, and from then it was kind of like a domino effect. We just started, once we started doing different classes and marriage classes, then we wanted to do that for others. And so it's just throughout our life kind of been that domino effect, but that's what really started it off.
Natural progression. Mm-hmm. As we partake, we desire to share mm-hmm. with others. Mm-hmm. Brian, anything you want to add to that or just kind of build upon?
Yeah, you know, the only thing I would probably add is that person that asked us that question, like, do you have a vision for your family? We didn't even know them. We were walking out to our car after church, and this person was visiting our church. And on the way out in the parking lot, he just stepped up and just said, hey, I'm so-and-so. Do you have a vision for your family? I was like, a what?
That was literally the first question he asked you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know who he was. So.
Yeah. But it was a well-timed question, or a well-timed that really started.
It had to be by the Spirit, because he spoke it and it soaked right in. So, yeah.
Jeremy, anything that you've already mentioned, you know, the one situation, anything else to add as to what drove you into a deeper walk with Christ, or what's kind of fueled your discipleship journey?
Just to reiterate, it was my own need for a Savior, my own need for discipleship that really drove me to that. And seeing what I struggled with, it's kind of like what Brian and Kara mentioned. Hey, they started growing in these areas, and then they wished someone else had helped them do that earlier on, and so they want to pass this on. Mm-hmm. The big thing is why I'm involved with the men's purity group is because of my own struggle and battle, and I'm passionate about helping others be able to overcome that and be able to draw close to Christ and conquer that battle.
Which really highlights, I mean, two beautiful principles in the scriptures. I mean, number one, that God is able to make beauty out of ashes, right? He's always in the process of reconciliation and redemption. He takes our brokenness and moves it into something that is whole. And then number two, that as a body, we impact each other, right? We model for each other and kind of encourage each other to a deeper walk. I appreciate that. Dawn, let's come back to you. Share just some places that you find yourself now engaged, especially as you start to see this transition from 10,000 days of time with teaching your family. But where do you start to just see or find yourself engaged in your local church family there in Princeville?
Recently in Princeville, we already have a structure for women's activities. And so for a session in the fall and one in the winter, I just invited people to sign up for the spiritual formation course with me. And I had a really good response. And so in the fall, it was about 10 or 12 of us that did it. And then in the spring, maybe 20 some people signed up. So we divided into two groups. So 30 women, and at least in Princeville, have gone through that. And it has been very much a blessing for us. So I've had opportunity to mentor young women. A lot of times that's just maybe knowing that we're going to meet monthly or Zoom meet monthly. I've done some teaching through writing or presentations, or just hosting a group of people to my home and have a little tea or brunch and go through a Bible outline. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
and how many of these, and maybe this is not an answerable question, how many of this seems to be kind of just organic, just kind of emerges, right moment, right place, right time, right conversation? And how many of it has a level of
intentionality?
Your spiritual gift is administration like mine, so it's always like it seems like everything is structured if I'm not careful. But how much of it is like this, has a level of intentionality or structure?
I like to pray that God will show me my next assignment. So I like to wait until, because I can have a lot of ideas, and to wait until I can't not do it. Or I can just tell. Something will build.
That's a sense of God working within you. It builds.
Yeah, it builds.
And you can't not do it.
Right, and it's just in there. And then the opportunity opens up, and it's there. Mm-hmm. And that's a sweet thing.
Yeah. But you start with that prayer of intentionality.
Yeah.
You start with that mindset of intentionality.
Yeah. So this is my gifting. I would do this all the time. I mean, as far as that kind of
thing. Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's good. Brian, Kara, again, thinking through right now in Fairbury, where you find yourself walking through life with Jesus right now, where do you find yourself engaged in discipleship?
I'll go first.
You go.
Okay. Currently, we have, for the last 3 years, been mentoring six young couples. They were either recently married or married for a very short period of time at the time we started it. And it was just a monthly get together. We'd provide them supper and we would talk about some specific topic that they wanted to go over and spend some time together. And then we would also have some fun times. And one night we let them play Chopped in our kitchen. So that was a good building team
and,
skills.
And you said young couples.
Young couples.
Why young couples?
Actually started with our daughter, asked us if we would do it for her and her husband, and then she picked several other young folks to join in. So,
and it just built from there.
Built, yeah. Yeah. So we feel like we may be getting close to time after 3 years that it'd be a great opportunity for them, I think, to find another set of mentors and learn more from somebody else. You know, we'll still have an ongoing connection with them.
You shared everything you can share with them, is that right?
Yeah.
That's good.
I mean, we do take them out. We individually take them out to eat too. We try to do like more individual and then also like as a group. So we try to schedule times where we go out to eat just with them. And then
I'm kind of a big believer too that one way to learn is to teach. And so this past year we've given each of them a session to come up with a topic and present. So
Carrie, anything you'd add with that? I mean, you talked about homeschooling, right? There's homeschooling elements, but other places or other things?
I mean, I talked about parenting classes, the marriage groups. We've done a lot of young group events where we have the young groups over, and that started with our kids wanting to have kids over and just trying to be intentional with that. Every one of our kids is different in how social they want to be, so sometimes it was higher on the level than other times, but that was another place. But I think, I don't know, sometimes we look at like, we got to do like a class or we have to do this or we have to, you know, some people aren't geared that way. I'm more of an administrator type person. I like to plan things and have my schedule all full and all of that. But God kind of in the last few years has stopped me and said, you know what, I just want you to spend time with me and learn how to pray and learn how to pray for others. And so one of the things that, you know, I was just kind of struggling with like daily life and always, I mean, even within the church, just coming to church with a purpose and knowing what my purpose was. And I don't know, God just laid on my heart, just ask the person next to you how you can pray for them. Mm-hmm. Every Sunday, just ask that person next to you how you can pray for them. And I will tell you what, my discipleship with Jesus has grown immensely, and my discipleship with my brothers and sisters has grown immensely, just because I understand their hearts, and it opens up such a neat way for them to share. And I always, in the middle of the week, try to be very intentional about texting them a prayer or somehow touching base with them and praying for them. And it just has built a lot of relationship for me and of giving me a purpose in church that every one of you guys can do. Mm-hmm. It's not something that is rocket science. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
But again, the intentionality to choose to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jeremy, you've mentioned already some of the purity groups, the engagement with the young men. Mm-hmm. They're enforced in that area. Other ways you find yourself kind of engaging in a role of discipling others?
So, definitely God has just called me to that, to sexual purity ministry, if you will. Sorry, it's a thing we have to deal with. We live in a fallen world. And so there's a lot with that that's not just the purity group. I've talked to different Sunday schools about it and different groups of people. So that's just what I'm passionate about and what God has called me to. But I'm also a father of eight. And like Dawn said, I think it's the most important discipling we'll ever do is with our children or any children that are in your life, whether it's your nieces, nephews, grandchildren. We have a tremendous influence on them. And I don't think I have to tell anyone here that it can be easy to neglect that because they're just always there and you think they're learning from you, but it really takes an intentionality and it's huge. So that's one focus that I'm focused on and called to. And then just obviously, being in the ministry, I get the opportunity to to counsel and disciple converts a fair amount. I hope you're feeling inspired by what everyone's sharing, mm-hmm. because I've known Brian and Kara for a number of years, and just listening to them again inspires me to what they're all involved in. And they somehow, I got invited as a young couple. We got invited to be a part of a Bible study they were doing. I don't know if my sister invited us or if you did, but my sister was in there, and it was raising godly children in an ungodly world, and it changed our life as parents, and so they've affected me big time. So thanks for your efforts there. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for that, Jeremy. Just again, I hope you're sensing, right, the flow of the Spirit, or the the Spirit bringing opportunities to, I think, each of you. You would say, as you had that intentionality, as you had that prayer of intentionality, and as you just examined and thought about where life was at, you know, what was going on in my world, and how can I use that in a way that draws people closer to Jesus? I want to shift towards that last question and just spend a little bit of time here on kind of, you know, lessons learned and things learned and that kind of thing. But in that, and any of you can share this, there is a piece that I'm hearing, just kind of underlying the surface here, that our personal walk with Jesus is the fuel that allows us to do all of these things. Right? It doesn't just happen because we just force it or grit it out to do it, but there's a personal walk with Christ that is an undergirding. Speak to that, any of you, just what you've learned about that, or Dawn, go ahead, speak into that.
I am so thankful for any Bible verse that I memorized when I was younger. My decision to read through the Bible yearly, I use a yearly Bible, so many years I've gone through the Bible, and I can't go back now and fill my head with those years of memory and reading. And so I would just, whatever season you are now, is the best season to just start filling yourself with the Word. And I've tried to have the thought to, when I'm reading and when I'm learning, I'm doing it for my transformation. I'm not doing it so that I can teach someone else. It's my transformation, Jesus in me, and it's the outflow of that that is going to create, you know, a disciple from, or discipling somebody else.
Yeah. Which so fits into what we've learned already today, right? That Christ is the vine. As we abide in him, the becoming like him and continue his work becomes a natural outflow of the abiding. But we have to be transformed by him. I appreciate that. Stoller's laying, Jeremy, anything else to kind of add into that? How do you find the fuel, or how do you discipline yourself to be diligent about the fuel to keep this going?
I would say a little bit that there are times when you just feel like, I just feel like I need a break. Yeah. But before long, you kind of get that sense. Well, all of a sudden be like, I think we need to start this. You know, it's time again. So kind of like when you're away from it for a while, you start to feel a little dry. Mm-hmm.
And, so, yeah. And then that spurs you back to be
right.
engaged again.
Right.
Right. But there's a little bit of a cyclical nature to it, is mm-hmm. what I hear you say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For us, it has been. So. Yeah.
Jeremy, any thoughts on that? Like, how do you keep the fire going?
Yeah, I think I can't iterate or restate enough that it's Jesus, that it's our own personal relationship with him and growing with him. And again, I think you can all think through your life, and I had people in my life that were growing in Christ. They were growing their relationship, and they didn't even know they were discipling me, but I was learning so much from them because it was coming out of them. And they were just living their life, and they wanted to talk about Jesus. They didn't want to talk about the ball game last night. Like they want to talk about what they're reading and what God's doing in their life and who they're reaching out to. And it just rubs off on you. And it's the same way in our life. The more we step into Christ and his word and grow and into the Spirit, it just comes out of us. And that's our fuel. It's not, there are times because of my administration that I've planned meetings and planned things, and you just have to go and
I had no plans in getting all administrators up here, but it's kind of fun. Yeah.
Maybe you have to, you know, just go do it, and you don't feel like you have that much fuel because. But yeah, for the most part, it's just it comes out of us when we're pursuing Christ. Yeah.
Thanks for that. I'm going to stay with you, Jeremy. Just the question that I asked them to consider is like, you know, what do you wish you would have known earlier, or just what advice do you have, or what have you learned that's kind of drove you in this? So, kind of any other things you want to share as you kind of, and then we'll work our way back this way.
I think Brian has a good story that maybe he'll share on this, but discipleship doesn't have to be a marriage with another person. As far as like, I need to find someone to disciple, like we picture Jesus, 12 disciples, and they're with him all the time. It might look like that, but it can be like someone already shared, like you, the Stollers shared, that someone came up and asked them the question, what's the vision for your family? You can impact that. We can, as we try to disciple others, it can be as simple as one comment or question to them. It doesn't have to be, I'm looking for this right person to mentor and to be in my life to help. It's just the attitude that you want to help and that you have Christ flowing out of you. We have the opportunity to disciple people every day. Again, just back to that, it doesn't have to be a formal thing. It's just can come out of us day to day as we try to preach Christ to others. But the one big thing that I've learned is I don't have all the answers, and I can't make someone change. So often when you're discipling, it's kind of like, well, from my experience, I just know if you'd really do A, B, and C and really do it, like you would grow. But they have to realize that. And so one of the most effective things I believe we can do when we're discipling in conversation is just to ask questions, ask them, and help them self-realize. Once they self-realize what they need to do, they're going to do it. We can tell them all day long. It's kind of like if you're trying to sell something, if you're trying to sell a car, I can tell, I sell spray foam insulation. I can tell you all day long why you need spray foam. I can tell you all the benefits. It's great, blah, blah, blah. If you don't self-realize that you need it, you're not going to buy it. But if I can ask you questions, are you comfortable in the wintertime? Do you have low energy bills in the wintertime? No. You're self-realizing, I think I need spray foam. And it's the same concept. Sell them Jesus.
Careful now. Careful. But no, so your point is, right, ask questions. Christ was the amazing question answer, or question asker,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And he drove them to a place where we realize if nothing changes, nothing changes. Mm-hmm. Right? Or why do I need to change? Mm-hmm. And you had said something else. And again, I know, Brian, you have an example of this as well, but you had said something else earlier in our conversation. Be willing to say the hard thing in somebody's life, right, is an aspect of this as well. Correct. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you had mentioned that before.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. It's. It's hard to know maybe when to say that, but we do need to be willing to just speak truth into their life and speak as we see it. And I'm not thinking of any examples. I think back to Brother Brian's example, maybe he'll share.
Here, one way.
Yeah, Brian, I guess we have an example we need to share. But anyway, let's just build upon this idea, right? That sometimes discipleship does involve the hard question. I mean, yeah. Christ asked questions so hard that people walked away from him,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. You know, a good number of his disciples walked away from him because of the questions that he asked. Mm-hmm. So, Brian, what does that look like, and what has that looked like in your life, and or anything else you want to kind of share?
Yeah, sure. Now, I'm just going to build a little bit off of Jeremy's comment that I think for me, as I've gone through life, I'm realizing more and more that discipleship doesn't have to always look like a set meeting at a set day at a set time. For a certain number of years, because I mean that scares me to death. I'm not a counselor person, and I'm like, how am I going to know when this person's graduated, and how am I going to be able to walk away from this one again, and when are we going to know when it's time to separate, and And so if you're that person, you're very good about saying, yeah, I'm great about meetings and we're going to do this consistently and all that. That's good. I mean, do it if that works for you. But for me, I found that a lot of my discipleship, other than some of these classes and you know, things that we've done with young couples and things, you know, other than that, outside of those things, it's become more of a, at this moment, Spirit says speak. And the example was we've been cabin leaders at Ignite a number of times. And one of the years that we were there, it was probably second day or so, and there was a young man in my group who had just started repenting not very long before, maybe a couple weeks, I don't even remember. But through the course of conversation, I became aware that he was struggling with a girlfriend relationship still. And so at one of the meals, I asked him, so have you been pure in this relationship? And he kind of just looked a little sheepish and said, well, for the last 2 days that I've been here, I have been. And I came unglued. I hit him with both barrels of the shotgun, and it was just spur of the moment. And afterwards, I felt like, oh my goodness, I overdid that. I really shouldn't have probably said everything that I said. But it wasn't too long after I had a conversation with his elder, and he said, hey, whatever you told him, we got the ship back on this on the path, and this thing's making progress now, and thank you. But it was just spur of the moment, two paths crossed, and Spirit said speak, and words came out. And if I would have thought about it, I never would have probably said it, because it's just not going to be that forceful. So,
but the opportunity was there,
yeah.
And the Spirit worked.
Yeah.
Kara, what about you? What would you like to share as far as advice? Lessons
I would
learned?
Just say that I don't know how many of you guys are fixers, but I am a huge fixer. I like to fix everybody's problems. I like to make everything be, you know, just fixed. So through this process, I have learned that I am not going to fix anybody's problems. And as hard as that is for me, and as hard as it is just to listen and to ask the right questions instead of trying to fix it, is probably something definitely God's still working in me. But just show love, be there to listen, be a safe place for them, someone that you can, that, you know, they can trust. The other thing is that, as you've probably realized, I am a very much of a planner, and my schedule's full, and I have all kinds of things going on, and I don't take enough time for myself. And I can get to the point where I'm just drained. And so that has especially happened to me in the last couple months. And it's just like, you have to stop and you have to realize that you have to back away from things. You have to learn to say no and have boundaries. So I think that that's something that we all need to remember. And probably just, we just don't ever get done growing and learning. And not to let your insecurities hold back your vulnerability, to be vulnerable with each other. And that really grows relationships. Share your struggles and be willing to just to be that way with others so that your relationships can grow. And it's amazing what God can do with that.
So, thanks for that. Dawn, any thoughts?
As far as encouragement, when you go through the barren seasons and life is just kind of hard and you're just kind of living each day and each day is a little bit hard, I just think that's your field experience. That's my field experience. I can be learning and doing a Bible study and reading in the Bible, but we have to go out and we have to put that to practice. And those, so to, and I am learning this now, to not shy away, to lean in to the hard things. It's suffering that matures us, and the hard things build endurance and perseverance in us. They also equip us to be able to walk alongside other people who are going through hard things, which there are very hard things. And I think we just have to come to a point as we mature that we're willing to be a person who does walk through with somebody who's going through something very hard. And if we've never gone through hard things, then we're not equipped. So we can't comfort people if with the comfort that God has given us, if we have never had a reason to be comforted, and we can't go through the steps of the tribulation, patience, experience, and hope if we're going to hop over the tribulation part. So yesterday, I had an opportunity to experience this. I was in a waiting room and met a woman who's traveling the same journey as I am, and I could give her a hug and say, "You are at the hardest time. It's going to get better." And I wouldn't have been able to do that if I wasn't walking in hard myself in a certain area. So I don't like hard things. So I'm trying to learn to lean into that. And as far as if there's something that I wish I would have known, I wish I would have known that those 10,000 days were holy days. That so all those missionary books I read, I think it would have been easier for me to follow Jesus all over the world than just be in the four walls of my own home. But they were holy days, and I am really thankful for them and very blessed.
The wisdom of experience, looking back and reflecting and seeing how God has worked in your lives. One of you said it, or I think maybe it was even throughout the conversation. The idea that we are so close in relationship and fellowship with our Savior, that then it just rubs off onto those that we come in contact. And he brings those conversations to bear. He brings those relationships to bear. He brings those opportunities to bear, whether they might be with their own children or through our own struggles or through someone we just meet in a parking lot somewhere. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for your decades of loving the Savior and loving others through him.